Welcome to On OC, the weekly podcast for the Voice of OC, Orange County's only nonprofit newsroom. I'm publisher Norberto Santana Jr. With me today is Beth Crom, former mayor of Irvine and a longtime elected official here in Orange County in the city of Irvine. Beth, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Recently, over the break, we were thinking about maybe going for the 3rd District Supervisor's race, thought about maybe Democratic Party chair, pulled out of that over the holidays. You're kind of beyond elected seats at this point and kind of more of a senior policymaker throughout the county. How's Orange County changed?
Well, it's interesting. You know, I mean, I served for 16 years on the Irvine City Council and, you know, from 2000 to 2016, some years of significant change. It was the fight to stop the El Toro Airport that got me into political life. And I was grateful for the opportunity to work on something that really did change the landscape. But we now see a lot of other forces at play in Irvine and throughout Orange County that continue to change the face of our county. I used to say, I mean, I still believe, you know, I don't want to see Orange County become LA County, but in some ways we are, you know, and so you're sitting on the 405 freeway or the 5 freeway, and sometimes you're in exactly that same kind of a traffic situation. You know, I was on the city council and mayor for part of the time when we went through the economic downturn. You know, Irvine was a center for development. So, you know, when the housing market crashed, it affected us. We were the hub for the subprime lending industry. So we were, you know, certainly at the epicenter of that. And when the market came back, it came back first in Irvine. And to some degree, the developers, I think, have had the attitude that they are owed the opportunity to reclaim every penny they lost in the downturn. And the truth is, the only real players left are the bigger players. You know, I mean, a lot of people lost their projects. So, you know, there's a lot of power in the hands of developers, and I think we're feeling the impact of that around the county. I think the challenge is, because developers are going to be developers, you know, I mean, it's, you know, it's like the fable about the scorpion asks the lion to carry it across the water, and it says, but you're going to bite me. It says, I won't bite you. You know, gets across, scorpion bites him. You said you wouldn't bite me. I'm a scorpion. You know, they're developers. I don't want to draw a parallel there, but I'm just saying, you need public officials who are prepared to do the work of brokering for the public interest when looking at land use. And now we have the state with good intention because of the need for affordable housing, which I totally support. I was part of founding the Irvine Community Land Trust. I think we absolutely need more affordable housing, but we shouldn't be liberating developers from having to work with the local communities and how they develop. I disagree with that. So I've seen a lot of change. Irvine had a population of 140,000 when I came on the council, about 75,000 when I moved to Irvine in 1986. And today, you know, we're pushing the high twos and we'll be at 300,000 in short order. So I've seen a lot of growth in my city. I've seen a lot of change here in Orange County. And, you know, it's exciting to see Orange County evolve in the ways that it is evolving. But one of the things and one of the reasons the Great Park plan, the project and the planning of it was so significant to me is that what I think Orange County unfortunately lacks is a heart and soul. It is a county without hub space. It doesn't have the kind of convening space that a lot of communities have. And if you are interested in things, you have to work so hard to find other people who share those interests here. And so I really was excited at the proposition of having a great metropolitan park that literally was at the center of the county. People don't realize that the northern border of the El Toro Marine Base was an equal distance from the northern border of the county as the southern border was with the southern border of the county. We had a great opportunity. What is evolving is what it is, but it's certainly not the vision that some of us had for the Great Park.
Irvine's residents that came in the 70s and the 80s were sold sort of this suburban dream. And it seems like now, as you said, it is much more closer to getting to parts of LA when you're driving, at least like on the 405, there's a lot of building going on. Are those two Irvines compatible, you think, ultimately, or will one of them win out over the other?
Well, you know, I think you've talked about two ends of a continuum. I think there's another option, which is somewhere in between. I mean, we are going to be more urbanized, no doubt, around the train station, maybe around the park. And even, you know, one of the features of that property of the former El Toro Marine Base and now the Orange County Great Park is that it sits right on the rail line. And so, you know, again, this notion that kids from throughout Orange County could hop on a train from Santa Ana or from San Juan Capistrano, whatever, and come to the park, that people could have a car-free Southern California holiday with staying in Irvine, close to the park, taking the rail, you know, because what we're not doing, along with our vision for urbanization, is talking about enhanced transit options, how to get people out of their cars. You know, we're building urban space with two parking spots for every resident. That isn't the idea. The idea is to create hubs. The IBC was supposed to be a walkable community. We were supposed to have a balance of housing and jobs. Now the jobs are moving, the housing's increasing. Okay, so all of those people have to hop in their car and drive to a job. So, you know, I think that a lack of vision at the county level, and one of the reasons that I was looking at running for that third district supervisor seat, is because there is a gross lack of vision at the county level and has been for as long as I've been paying attention to the county. The county doesn't see itself as a partner with local communities. The only partnerships are political partnerships, and that's not the way that you move a region forward. A little too much preoccupation with their own infighting and, you know. And then you have municipal leaders who, you know, we have 34 little fiefdoms here, you know. And each city, you know, has its own profile, has its own history. Irvine, you know, some of the things that I put into place when I was mayor were the Veterans Day and the Memorial Day, but also Global Village, because we're not an old city. So we didn't have like Founders Day, like you may have Founders Day in certain parts of this county, but we didn't have that. But I think each city has its own profile. I have been known to say that, you know, sometimes Orange County feels like one big dysfunctional Thanksgiving dinner, where, you know, I think Irvine has been viewed as the first kid that got to go to college on daddy's money, that somehow we didn't have to work for what we have, that it all just came rolling in, you know, because of the largesse of the Irvine Company. The truth is, Irvine has been having to fight for its soul from the very beginning. You know, we didn't have affordable housing. That took a lawsuit. You know, we didn't have preserved open space. That took an initiative. And so a lot of the things that people take for granted as part of Irvine's profile are things that citizens had to fight for, you know, ever since the city was incorporated or before the city was incorporated. So, you know, I think, unfortunately, from the outside looking in, we don't always understand what the, you know, assets and liabilities are for each community. But, you know, I think we have the tools here in Orange County to help people know the county more broadly. I used to talk to Art Leahy from when he was the head of the Orange County Transportation Authority about doing a Discover Orange County project where every year, you know, maybe you pick four cities and people can go to their city halls, get on an OCTA bus, be driven to a city for kind of a tour. You would, A, get people on a bus who would otherwise never get on a bus. People would meet their neighbors and meet people from throughout the county, and they would discover things about the county they probably never see, because people do tend to stay in their sort of little bubbles.
Now, you mentioned the Great Park, which was a great municipal dream here in Orange County, a large park the size of Central Park in New York City.
Twice the size of Central Park.
Twice the size of it. We actually spent time together in Europe back in 2006 when I worked at the Orange County Register. I went with much of the city council to go look at municipal parks. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that the vision failed at the Great Park? I know sometimes people say it was, you know, insider contracts or the end of redevelopment, but what do you think happened to it? And is the dream gone? Is it basically just houses now and that's it? Or is there an opportunity to still do something noteworthy at the area?
Well, the reality is that when we were fighting to stop the airport, we understood that we couldn't kill a bad idea unless we had a better idea. And given the growth in Orange County and the fact that many communities don't have significant parklands, the opportunity to create a great metropolitan park was something very compelling. When Measure W passed in 2002, the federal government immediately made it clear they had no intention of making a public benefit conveyance of the base, meaning we're not going to give you this base to turn into a park. We want to sell the base. At that time, residential land values were about $4 million an acre, and they knew they had an asset that they could realize a return on. So they put it up to auction, and Lennar, National Home Builder, paid $642.5 million to the federal government. I have said that I think Irvine, who was instrumental in doing all the mapping to allow that sale to go so well and putting in the land use, annexing the base into the city of Irvine. People are like, why Irvine? Nobody else wanted it. The county could have built a great park. That's what the people wanted. The county didn't want any part of doing that. So Irvine took that very big responsibility on. And I have said that, you know, as far as I know, we're the only city that ever helped the federal government get $642.5 million. That was a good return. In exchange, 1,347 acres was set aside for the park. And, you know, there were resources that came from the purchaser, from Lennar, and then a redevelopment agency. And you can't dismiss these things because the truth is the redevelopment agency was going to generate projected $1.4 billion for the development of the park. When redevelopment went away, we did get a $300 million settlement from the state, but that's a far cry from $1.4 billion. It really put the power in the hands of the developers. I mean, it's interesting because Five Point Communities and Lennar are involved in a number of base redevelopment projects throughout the state. So I don't know whether they were actively lobbying for the end of redevelopment, but it shifted power away from the cities who no longer had a stream of revenue that they could work with to the developers who then came in with these sort of bargains. And, you know, one of the things that I think people probably have no clue about is that when the city council gave Five Point Communities the right to develop 688 acres or whatever, the agreement that was written by the developer. All of the advantages, in my view, I mean, yes, are we getting benefits? Absolutely. But do the benefits they get outweigh the benefits we get? I think so. And you know, we had to include language. I didn't support it, but language was included that indicated that it was completely consistent with the plan for the Great Park, which it clearly wasn't. So what we have now, what evolving, is much more of a sports park, a much more of a pay-to-play. Are kids from Santa Ana going to be able to play on really lovely sports fields? No, because the city is now managing that field space. And if somebody comes in and is willing to pay a little bit more to use it as a commercial opportunity, they're going to get access to those fields. So that's a very different vision than one of public benefit, of community space, of a convening space for people from throughout Orange County. But, you know, am I sorry that we fought to stop the airport? No, I'm not. And I think if there's a lesson in it, it's that when you are in politics, the lifespan of your influence is the time that you're actually at the table. And even then, I went from being in a majority position for 12 years, 3-2 majority on the council. And I'm very proud that during the 4 years I was mayor, most of our decisions were unanimous decisions. So I believe in kind of trying to get to a place where everybody can agree. Then I went into a 3-2 minority position, and then my last 2 years were 4-1 minority position. And so that was a very different view, but I'm grateful for all of the experience.
So as somebody who knows this third district for Orange County very well, what are the issues in play there, and what do you think that voters should be asking? I mean, at this point, it looks like it's going to be former Congresswoman Loretta Sanchez, who you endorsed. Mm-hmm. Looks like Mayor Don Wagner of Irvine, Anaheim City Councilwoman Chris Murray seem to be the two Republican players in that field. What should voters be paying attention to? What's the future of the third district look like, potentially?
Well, Irvine voters should pay attention to the fact that the guy who just asked them to reelect him as mayor seems very anxious to leave that seat and go to the Board of Supervisors. I think it's always nice when elected officials who run for something actually stay and do the job they got elected to before they leap out, but that's my editorial. I think that the third district, Irvine is the largest city in the third district. It's an interesting, as with all of these districts, it's carved out in an interesting way. Irvine, Tustin, Orange, Villa Park, Anaheim Hills, Yorba Linda. So, you know, you have a lot of North County South County. One of the things that I hope will occur is more bringing together of those cities, because we do seem to have these geographic issues here where the North thinks the South gets everything, the South doesn't know where the North is. Whatever it is, we have to start thinking like a county. And the Board of Supervisors are in the best position to craft that kind of broad vision. Obviously, homelessness is a huge issue in this county, and we have to stop pretending like that ball hasn't been kicked down the court for years and years and years. The human infrastructure of this county deserves the attention and the resources that come to the county for the purposes of providing support to people, whether it's in the area of health, whether it's in the area of social services. You know, every county is challenged to meet these interests. But you're going to be more challenged if the political leadership doesn't even believe it's part of their job, you know, or worthy of the resources. So I would hope, if it is Loretta Sanchez, you know, given that I am a Democrat and I pay attention to these things, that we will finally have somebody on that Board of Supervisors. Obviously, Doug Chafee just got elected too. It'd be nice for the two of them to have each other. But, you know, who's really willing to stand up and say, you know, I'm not here to warm a seat. I'm here to get things done. I'm here to get things done for all of the people of Orange County. And I think the 3rd District really straddles the county in a way that a lot of the districts don't. And so I think that would be an important platform for whoever serves there. I frankly would not expect a lot from the Republicans who get elected there, because I don't think that they're particularly interested in the social side of what leadership is, and in the human side. I always say, buildings don't make communities, people make communities. And we have to start thinking about the people of this county. There are 3 million people. How many elected officials here are ranting and raving about the taxpayers? Well, you know what? There are a lot of taxpayers in this county who would like to have access to more public space, who would like investments in the schools, who would like to have their children have access to, you know, Planned Parenthood educational support, even though philosophically people on the Board of Supervisors may have an issue with it. Get over it. You are representing 3 million people. It's not about 5 people on the board. So I'd like to see some bold action. That would be fun.
Beth Crum, former mayor of Irvine, thanks as always for joining us. Look forward to staying in touch.
My pleasure. I'd love to come on anytime.
Make sure to stay in touch with us at the newsroom. Stop by iTunes, like us, rate us over there. You can also check us out on platforms like Podomatic. And in the meantime, stop by the Facebook page. Tell us what you like, what you don't like. This newsroom is here for you.